All right, let us start in prayer. Shabbat Shalom. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we thank you and bless you and praise you and give you all glory for all you do for us. We thank you, Father, for protecting us, for providing for us, and for providing in ways that we don't even imagine. We thank you, Father, for your great plan of salvation for mankind. And we thank you for revealing it to us in these last days and opening up our mind. We pray, Father, for your kingdom to the earth in such a wicked world. We pray for those who suffer in this world, Father, and your comfort to them. And most of all, Father, we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son to come to this earth and suffer and die and pay the penalty of our sins. We thank you for this Sabbath day that pictures your millennium that's coming and also our freedom from sin through Yeshua's blood. We give you all praise in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Okay, today I'm going to do a Bible study on the biblical calendar in the start of the year. I usually would probably do this maybe a few weeks down the line, but since this is a intercalary year where a month is being added, because the Roman calendar, you know, and like I said, for most people, I know it was this way with me. You come to the truth, you're thinking, you know, you find out Christmas is pagan, you find out Easter is pagan, you find out birthdays are pagan, you find out Valentine's Day is pagan. But you never think of a calendar. You think the calendar is just a calendar, right? But then you find out we're using worldwide a Roman calendar, which was not the biblical calendar and was made. And they fix that calendar in together. But the biblical calendar is a different calendar, as we're going to see today. The biblical calendar does not start at midnight, the way the Roman calendar does. But the biblical calendar starts at sunset. The days go from sunset to sunset. But primarily today, we're going to talk about how do you start your year, you know, according to the biblical calendar. So I always start to say, you know, I think, because there's many different calendars, there's many different ways of calculating the calendars and the way that people do the calendar. But I think when you're starting, because like I said, even if you don't believe in the Roman calendar, even if you know it's not the right one, just like myself, I know the Roman calendar isn't the right one, and yet I still go by it because that's what the world goes by, right? You're still, when you're making an appointment maybe with someone from work and it's okay, I'll meet you on Tuesday. You know, you don't use the Hebrew days, except of course in Israel, which is just day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then Yom Shabbat. But I mean in the world in general, you know, the calendar is used that way. So people don't use the biblical calendar and they really don't think about the biblical calendar. But in the biblical calendar, you have basically 29 and a half or 30-day months. So in a biblical year, you have 354 days in the biblical year. But we know that in a solar year, there's 365 and a quarter days. You know, so there's going to be a difference then in the biblical calendar that about every 3 years, you're going to have to add a month to the calendars. We're going to see why, because there has to be a starting point. And that's the first thing I want to get across. I'm not going to make this very long. You know, I'm not going to make it very complicated. I want to go over the simple, basic things from Scripture on how to know the start of the year. Because I think I know when I was studying this years ago, you know, because when I was in Church of God, basically we would come to services and you'd get this tiny little white business card that had all the holy days on it. And that's the only thing you thought about. And then when Church of God fell apart and somebody, you know, came up and said, hey, do you know that the Jewish calendar is incorrect? You know, it threw a whole new monkey wrench into things. And I studied it now for probably close to 30 years, 25 to 30 years on the biblical calendar. And sometimes people would give me 20 and 30 hours of videotapes. At that time, it was videotapes, not even DVDs. But the point of it is, I think it's much simpler than that. I think if people just sit back and go over a few of these basic scriptures, It's not really that hard. The same way as it's not that hard to figure out when a day starts, right? There was evening and there was morning day one. You know, that clearly we could show from Scripture the day starts at sunset. And what is it? It's the absence of the sun. That's when the day starts, when the sun is absent. Why? Because Yahweh didn't want people worshiping the sun. If the day started sunrise, people would be having all kinds of sunbursts in their house. It's just the way human beings are. Human beings are visual people by nature. They want to create things, and most of it is idolatrous. So when it comes to the biblical calendar, we're going to see that, although I'm going to start in Genesis 1:14, because what we need to do is we need to find out Yahweh's pattern. And if you find out Yahweh's pattern doesn't change, and then you just follow it over and over and over again, as we're going to see. That's why I always say, Yahweh works in the circular, he doesn't work in the linear. And Genesis 1:14 says, "And Elohim said, let light sources be in the expanse of the heaven to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Okay? So very clearly there, this is the precedent. And when we come to some of these things, like the rotating Sabbath that comes up, or some of these other things, the bottom line is you have to have a precedent. There has to be a precedent. You have to have a starting point to everything. And that's what I said. If there's one thing I think everyone should be able to agree with, is we're not in year one. Okay, when Yahweh created the earth, this is not still year one. So if we went to year two, and then year three, and then year four, and now we're getting close to year 6,000, there has to be something that the year begins and something that we know a year ends. And Yahweh tells us right here what that is. It's the luminaries in the sky. You know why? Because where he says, let them be for signs, okay, that the word oath is... he's talking about prophetic signs, like we see when we see eclipses, right? You know, and different things like that that have happened. And we see even the signs in the heavens with some of the constellations. So they're for biblical signs and seasons. That word is moedim. That's the holy day seasons. So the sun, the moon, and the stars are for the holy days. Nothing in there about barley. Nothing in there about barley. And if we're honest with ourselves, when the people talk about barley, what I say is barley's important because you need the barley for the wave sheaf ceremony. But if you simply go by the biblical calendar and you wait till after the equinox, you'll always have barley. So barley is simply an earthly sign that you're doing it the right way. You know, that if you're starting your year like the Jews do, they start their year in September. So there's no barley in September. Something's got to be wrong. If you're starting your year in January, like the Romans do, you're not going to find any barley in January, so something's wrong. So barley is important. It's an earthly sign, but it's not the perimeter, how a year starts. Because the other thing with barley, what people don't realize is, barley is arbitrary. It's arbitrary. Depending on who you're talking to and what you do, there's no constant with barley, even in the growing. Right? Because sometimes people will go to the scripture in Exodus where it talked about, you know, the barley was still in the ear, and they don't realize even the growing season in Egypt is different than Israel, even though they're right next to each other. That the barley comes out in Israel, I mean, the barley comes out in Egypt earlier than it is in Israel. And even in Israel, believe it or not. And that's why the grain season in Israel that starts at Aviv, which again is after the equinox, as we're going to see, that season runs for 2 months. That's why Shavuot goes from the Feast of First Fruits, which is the morning after the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath during unleavened bread, all the way to Shavuot, seven sevens, and then the 50th day. So that's almost 2 months later, and that's your whole growing season. Shavuot is the accumulation of the grain harvest, and it begins... where? It begins at the beginning of it, on the Feast of First Fruits. That's when you're bringing the first of the first fruits and waving it before Yahweh. So even there it's arbitrary, because the barley that's going to be ripe, say in the Negev Valley in the south, is going to be much earlier than the barley that's going to be up at Tel Dan all the way up in the Syrian border. So even in Israel, tiny little country that you can drive from one end to the other in about 7 hours... it's still arbitrary. And the other thing is, with the barley hunters, and I'm not against them. I have friends of mine that are very good men and honest men that check the barley and do this. So it's nothing personal against anybody. But if the barley hunters are honest with themselves, because there's probably three or four teams that consider themselves professionals, they're the ones going and checking every year and bringing it in to the people and telling them that they're always contradicting each other. They're never in agreement. They don't work together, you know, they're at all. And they're in disagreement. And this year is no different. Do you know that some of the people actually started the biblical year in February, a month ago, you know? They started the biblical year and they already kept their Passover. How does that work? You know, so if the professionals can't get it right, that every year they're disagreeing, one says, yes, it's Aviv, the other says, no, one says, I found, but, and you know why they're doing it? Because there's nothing in Scripture that actually tells us what Aviv would be to the beginning of the year. There's nothing in there. All it tells us is that the sickle has to cut the standing grain for the harvest for the Feast of First Fruits. But some say if the ears are green, it's Aviv. Some say if it has to be totally yellow to be Aviv. Some, they're all saying something different. So if the professionals can't get it right in every single year, they're arguing with each other, then something's got to be wrong. And it proves my point that something like the calendar, Yahweh would never, ever, ever leave it up to human beings. Even if, like I said, some of my friends do this and they're very good-hearted people and they would never lie or deceive the brethren. There are other ones out there that would, barley hunters. But some of them wouldn't. They're good people. But people make mistakes. People make mistakes. I can make mistakes. So Yahweh would never leave it on my shoulder or any other human being's shoulder. When you're talking about Passover, right? If you don't keep Passover in its season, then you're out of the body of Messiah. That's what every year, that's what keeps you in covenant relationship. Yahweh's not going to leave it to a human being. Yom Kippur. Because if you keep Passover wrong, you're going to keep the fall holy days wrong, right? So that's what's important, as we're going to see. And Yom Kippur, if you don't keep Yom Kippur, you're totally cut off if you don't afflict your soul and fast on that day. So Yahweh would never leave it up to human beings. And even if he would, how could he? Right? Before the last 100 years, where there were no telephones and there was no internet or nothing else, how on earth would people in North America or South America or Antarctica or Africa, how on earth would they know when barley was found in Israel? So it's just not logical. Like, anybody that's honestly looking at this and you logically think about it, there's no way that barley in Israel tells you when the year starts. It's impossible. And the other thing that's interesting about it is, you're not just talking about the year starting in Israel. You're talking about the year starting all over the earth. So it's the whole earth where the year is starting that you have to look at. So, because like I said, Yahweh knew. He knows the beginning from the end. So he knew that Israel was going to go in diaspora. He knew that for the last almost 2,000 years, most of the New Testament brethren are not living in Israel. And yet we're commanded to keep Passover and we're commanded to keep the holy days, which you're not going to be able to keep if you don't know when the year is starting. So it can't be whether someone finds a patch of barley in Israel. It's not the way Yahweh works. Because like we said, right here he told us in Genesis 1:14, the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? And it's very simple that, like we said, we know the way the day starts. We know the way the month starts by the new moon. And the year is also by the sun. Because the sun goes throughout the constellations. And it goes in a different constellation about every 30 days, ecliptic circle, around the ecliptic circle in the 12 constellations that actually tell the plan of salvation. You know, there's great books on this by Bullinger and other people, Witness in the Stars, that clearly show that from the beginning that Yahweh laid out those constellations to tell the plan of salvation through the blood of Yeshua. And the sun passes through each one, and the earth goes around the sun in a rotation. And once it passes from the southern hemisphere to the northern hemisphere, that's called the day of the equinox. And that's the day it goes from winter to summer. There's two seasons in Scripture, Genesis 8:22. The seasons are winter and summer. So you can't start the new year in the winter. It's that simple. And when people are starting the year in February or even in the beginning of March before the equinox, you're literally starting the year in the old year. You can't overlap time. You know, you don't start, if the day started sunset to sunset, you can't start the new day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, you can't overlap time. It's that simple. So since there's two seasons, it's just so simple. All you have to do is wait till the equinox, for the day of the equinox, you have to just wait for the sun to pass the equator and go from winter to summer, and then you wait for the next new moon. And the next new moon is the first month of the year. It's just so simple. There's nothing more to it than that. And we're going to see. This is what Scripture says. And yet, like I said, people will get all mixed up with all kinds of things. And now we even have people starting the year in February, in the middle of the winter. So another thing is that we look in Genesis 8, 13 and 14 with Noah, right? Because like I said, Israel, in 6,000 years, Israel has only been in the land for 1,500 years. And even then, it was 70 years in Babylon. So that means like for 4,500 years, Israel hasn't been in the land of Israel. So the year has to start every year, not only when Israel is in the land of Israel. Like I said, since the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD and destroyed the land of Israel, Israel hasn't been a nation until 1948. So who's checking for barley? Who's over there checking for barley? How do people know? It's just not logical. It's not the way Yahweh works. When he makes a commandment for something, he's not going to make it impossible for you to keep. So the same way, think to yourself. When Noah went into the ark, right? There had to be a calendar. There's days of the month. So let's look at Genesis 8, 13 and 14. And it happened in the 601st year. In the beginning, on the first of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the earth was dry. So it's the 601st year at the beginning on the first of the month. So it's a calendar. How is he calculating it? And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. So, you know, we're told when Noah was going into the ark, we're told when he's coming out of the ark, and months are passing, and the year is passing, you know, not only months, but the year is passing. And how on earth would he, you know, he certainly wasn't looking for barley in the, you know, the Jordan Valley. So, like I said, we just have to look at what Yahweh says. So we started here, Genesis 1:14, the sun, the moon, the stars are for signs, prophetic signs, and holy days. That's how we calculate our time. Psalm 104 in verse 19. Psalm 104 in verse 19. Psalm 104 and verse 19. He made the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down, right? So when the sun goes down, a new day is starting. The moon is made for seasons, for holy day seasons, for holy day seasons. And it's interesting on that when you're looking at the beginning of the year, because if we go to Exodus 23 in verse 14, Exodus 23 and verse 14, it says, three times in a year you shall make a feast to me. Now, we know the word for feast, you know, or the holy days, the Moedim or the feast. But this is a different word that's used here. You know, also the word for feast is hag. Hag is used, you know, the hagim, the three hagim of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. But the word here, it's a form of hag, but it's actually hagag. It's hagag, it's not hag. What is the difference between hag and agag? Well, if you look it up, the definition of hagag, it's to properly move in a circle. That is specifically to march in a sacred procession, to properly move in a circle. And this is when we go to Gilgal. You know, we've went there many times and we've taken people there because Gilgal, what? Gilgal was made in the shape of a sandal. And the priest in the heel of the sandal, which is like a circle, the priest used to haggab on the holy days. They used to do a sacred procession in that heel of the sandal and haggab. And we've done it. We've actually went there with a replica of the Ark of the Covenant during the holy days. And we all haggabed. We went around in the circle there in Gilgal, which is really an amazing place. But why is that? Because the Israelites were simple people, right? And that's why when Yahweh said, every place the sole of your foot touches will be yours. So what do? The first thing they do, Gilgal is the first place they're coming to when they're passing the Jordan River. And they make Gilgal in the shape of a sandal. Because that's the way they think, right? And since Yahweh works in the circular, right? And the year goes from equinox to equinox. That's the way the year goes. They make the heel of the sandal in a circle and they haggag in the circle. They're going in a circular pattern because that's the way the year goes. Yahweh watches Israel from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. It's a circular pattern. Our life is a circular pattern, right? From year to year. So this is the way it is. And that's why, like I said, there's not a lot of choices. For people that never heard of the calendar and they're all confused because they hear about barley and they hear about all this other stuff and the Jewish calendar with postponements, you know, that when they don't like the day of the feast, they just postpone it to another day. And they're all confused. And I say, just forget all those things. Just think simply that there has to be a turning point. And to be honest, unless you're going to use the Roman calendar that we definitely know is from paganism, there is no other way for any calendar, including the Jewish calendar, to go from one year to another except by the equinox. A matter of fact, even the rabbis in the Mishnah and the Talmud, it says that the year cannot start before the equinox. All of the historical writings all tell us Israel never started the year before the equinox, as we're going to see here. So let me show you first the biblical proof of this. And then from the biblical proof, we'll look in the historical proof. And like I said, I'm not going to make it really, really long and drawn out today because it's so simple. It really is simple. If people would just believe it, if they would simply logically think to themselves, because Yahweh is logical, everything he does is logical, and also it's got to be scriptural. So let's go to Exodus 34. Let's go to Exodus 34. And I'm going to read verse 18 first. It says, "You shall keep the feast of unleavened. 7 days you shall eat unleavened things, which I commanded you, at the time appointed," right? At the Moedim. That's the appointed time. At the month of Aviv. "For in the month of Aviv, you went out from Egypt." So we know Aviv is the first month of the year. And Aviv can only start after the equinox. So it could start anywhere from March 22, 23, all the way till the middle of April, depending on the new moon that month. And then look at verse 22 of Exodus 34. "And you shall observe a feast of weeks for yourself," right? Shavuot. "The first fruits of the harvest of the wheat, also the feast of ingathering." The feast of ingathering, which is what? Sukkot. Because you're ingathering all the harvest fruits after the turn of the year. The word in the Hebrew is tekufa, which is the equinox. So there it is. People say, well, if we're supposed to go by the equinox, it would say it in Scripture. Right there, it says it in Scripture. You cannot keep Sukkot unless it's after the equinox. And if you're starting the year early, like this year, which some of them are starting early and some started in February, their Sukkot is going to be in the hot of the summer and the beginning of August. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. It's going to be over the middle of August. It's going to be beat summer. The harvest isn't even going to be there yet because they don't even start harvesting at the earliest, the last few days of August, but mostly it's September where the harvest is coming. And sometimes it's even later. It could be late September, you know, even to the first week of October. But certainly it's not in August where the harvest is coming. So it's very clearly that, and if you don't have, that's why it's called the Feast of Ingathering. If you didn't ingather, you know, your grain from the spring, and then also your pomegranates and your wheat, and your olives, and your figs, and your dates, and all the other things, then how on earth are you going to have a feast? That's why it's called the Feast of Ingathering, because you have to ingather the fruit as Yahweh ingathers the tribes, and then you come up to Jerusalem and you appear before Yahweh for your blessing with all your harvest fruits in your hand. That's what Scripture says. So you're not going to go there in the middle of August when it's the middle of the summer and there's no harvest. That should be so simple for people to understand. And that's why it says you wait until after the Tekufa, the equinox, which is September 21st, September 22nd. So Sukkot cannot start before that. It can't start in the middle of August. It's that simple. It's simple. And you need a few weeks. You need at least 2 weeks to harvest your stuff in the spring or in the fall. So the thing is, if you start your year before the spring equinox, now, then your fall holidays are going to be before the autumn equinox, because they're exactly 6 months apart. You know, and that's why he says, you keep Sukkot when? At the going out of the year. Going out of what year? It's the seventh month. The going out of the agricultural year, because it's the end of the equinox. It's from equinox to equinox. That's the growing season. From the vernal equinox to the autumn equinox, that's your growing season. And the rest of it is the winter. And that's why after Sukkot, what do? You plow your fallow ground, and then you plant again, and you pray for the rain, and you wait for the winter rain, and the early rain, and then the winter rain, and then the latter rain, and then what happens? Then you get the harvest again when the equinox is coming, the beginning of the new year. So it's just so simple. Exodus 23 and verse 14. Exodus 23 and verse 14. He says, 3 times in the year you shall make a feast to me. 3 times in the year you shall make a feast to me. A Haggag, right? You shall, in a circular pattern, because that's the way the feast works. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days you shall eat unleavened things that I've commanded you at the set time of the month of Aviv. For in it you came out of Egypt, and they shall not appear before me empty. Also the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. Also the feast of ingathering, when? After the going out of the year. That's the equinox. Right? The going out of the year, because after the equinox, the growing season is ended. At your gathering your work from the field, 3 times in the year, every one of your males shall appear before Adonai Yahweh. So I'll read our little note here. It says also called Sukkot, but here typifying the bringing in of the harvest crop for preparation of winter and then appearing before Elohim in Jerusalem to receive their blessing. The phrase end of the year is referring to the agricultural year. The normal yearly cycle goes from equinox to equinox. That's the agricultural cycle. So it's very clear. And then Passover, what does Passover say? Exodus 13:10. Exodus 13:10. You shall keep this ordinance, Passover, at its appointed time, or some translations put in its season, in the right season, from year to year. So Passover is to be kept in the spring and not the winter. And you know what's interesting? That actually, the Jewish calendar believes the same thing. Okay? People think that the Jewish calendar, like we're going against the Jewish calendar. I've actually had people tell me I'm going to hell because I'm not following the Jewish calendar. But the problem with the Jewish calendar isn't that they don't know that the equinox is the beginning of the year, because the Jewish calendar believes the same thing. It's not that they don't believe Passover has to be in the summer of the new year, not in the winter of the old year. The problem with the Hebrew calendar is that they start the year in the seventh month. And then they count back from the seventh month, 182 days to Passover. And as long as Passover falls after the equinox, they start the year. But Passover is the 14th day of the month. It's not the first day of the month. So how can you have the first 12 days of the month in the old year as long as Passover is in the new year? And then they also have the postponement laws. You know, that if Yom Kippur falls on a Friday, they don't like it. They wouldn't want to have two Sabbaths. So they simply postpone it. They just postpone the day, almost like the Catholic Church does with Saturday and Sunday. So, but let me read you here that the Catholic Church, not the Catholic Church, the rabbinical Jews also believe that the Passover cannot be in the old year before the equinox. Okay, this is coming from Sanhedrin 11. And why is it according to the rabbinical Jewish calendar that Passover cannot come before the vernal equinox? It is because the rabbis say you cannot have two Passovers in the same year, right? What is the dividing of the year to the Jews? The vernal equinox, like everybody else. And here's the quote again. Should the Tekufa, right, which is the equinox, of Temez extend till after the Sukkot festival, or the Tekufa of Tebet till the 16 of Nisan, okay, because that would be before the year starts, the year should be intercalated like this year. So he's saying, right, if the first of Nisan, which is Aviv, is going to fall before the equinox, then you have to intercalate that year, so that the festivals might fall in their due seasons, Passover in spring, Sukkot in autumn. Pretty simple. And you want to know something. Like I said, it's only with Hillel II, the calendar that the Jews use today, it's a calculated calendar. It was made in 358 AD, right, in their diaspora already. And they changed the calendar and still made sure Passover falls after the equinox. But in the times of Yeshua before that, it wasn't only that Passover had to fall before the equinox, it was that Aviv 1 could not start before the equinox. And I have that quote here that I'll read you shortly. So it's pretty simple, as we're even seeing it from the Jews. Okay, let me read you here from the extracts of the canons of Antitolius, and this is on the Passover festival. He says, but as the Romans would say, before the 11th of the calendar of April, but the sun is found on the said 26th of the month of Pharmanath, not only as entering the first segment of the zodiac, they're calling it, it's the Maseroth, right? The Maseroth are the 12 constellations on the ecliptic circle. And like I said, the sun goes into each one every 30 days. And then when it passes from the 12th back into the first, then it passes the equinox in the beginning of the year. And a matter of fact, before I continue with that quote, I'll just read you this. This is coming from Josephus. And what did he say? The year had now begun as the sun was now in the constellation of Aries. So he knew the year could not begin until the sun passed from the 12th constellation to the first constellation. And it's so simple. You think it's by accident that Yahweh has those 12 constellations telling the plan of salvation, and that the sun goes every 30 days into another one, and every year, right at the equinox, it passes from the 12th to the first? Of course not. Of course not. So he says, entering into the Maseroth, but on the fourth day is already found passing through it. But this segment they generally call the first Dodecatomorium, and the equinox in the beginning of the month and the head of the cycle. That's the head of the year and the head of the planetary course. But the segment in the last Dodecatomorium at the end of the planetary revolution. Hence also those that place the first month in it and that fix the 14th of the month, the Passover, by it, commit, we think, no little and no common blunder, saying if they're making the year and the Passover start before the equinox, right? But neither is our opinion only, but it is also known that to the Jews anciently, and before even the Messiah was born, that was chiefly observed by them, as we may learn from Philo, Josephus, and Musaeus, the historians, say they never started the year before the equinox. These, when they resolve inquiries on Exodus, say that all ought to sacrifice the Passover alike after the vernal equinox in the middle of the first month. Pretty clear. In the bottom of this, but that the first month of the Hebrews must occur after the equinox may be gathered also from the book of Enoch. So it's pretty simple that, like I said, not going to get into the reasons and conspiracy theories on why Hillel made his calendar. They were in diaspora. They were trying to make something that was going to be for Jews all over the world, that would be easy enough to do, and that they can all keep their heritage. So, you know, all I'm saying is it is not the biblical calendar. And we see very clear that in the biblical calendar, the year never started before the vernal equinox. I want to read here also a quote from... these are called the Elephantine Letters. And they're 175 years of the Jews' diaspora in Egypt after the Babylonian captivity, or at the time of the Babylonian captivity. So these are people that went down there when the temple was still standing. You know, so they're definitely going to be doing it right. And these are people that at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah and everything else. And I want to read to you what these letters say. They're written from the period of 471 to 402 BC, right? And what's really interesting is that in all these letters, and there's quite a few of them, they're double dated. They have the Egyptian civil date, and they're double dated with the biblical calendar that's on there, because they didn't want to lose their calendar. So this is the direct quote now. And this is coming from Kenneth Doig, the New Testament Chronology. Many of these legal documents include the required Egyptian civil year date. Double date documents, including the Hebrew dates of the Elephantine letters, cover the period from 471 to 402 BC. This included evening to evening days, right? Not starting at sunset, but evening to evening. And a new year beginning in Aviv or Nisan, only after the vernal equinox. Almost all the datable documents can be referred back to Nisan or Aviv, beginning only after the vernal equinox every year. So there's hundreds of these letters. Every single one, no matter what year it is, you know, like I said, this is running about 70 years. Every single one only started the year after the equinox. So... I don't know how you can get better proof than that, because like I said, this is at the time when the temple was still standing. That this is starting all the way through Ezra and Nehemiah and going for 175 years from that point. See if I got one more. I'll read one more here, historical. Then we'll move on. This is coming from Peter, the Bishop of Alexandria. Mentions that the Jews had kept the Passover properly up to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. But after the destruction of the city, this is what Peter of Alexandria, the bishop there, says, that they, the Jews, err in reckoning the beginning of the month, which is first among the months of the year, talking about Aviv, on the 14th day, of which being accurately observed after the equinox, the ancients celebrated the Passover according to the divine command. Whereas the men of the present day now celebrated before the equinox, and that altogether through negligence and error, being ignorant how they celebrate it to their seasons. This is coming from the Anti-Nicene Fathers, volume 6, page 280. So there's no doubt about it that whether we're looking at the scriptural part of the calendar or we're looking at the historical part of the calendar, it's very clear that the month or the year never started until after the vernal equinox. Just want to go over a couple more scriptures that prove that. Because like I said, barley is very arbitrary, and when you're looking at the people, the barley hunters that are out there, like I said, they have a wide range. Like the people that started the year this year in February, you know, because they claimed that there was a field, you know, that they found that there was barley ready. And I'm not saying they're not telling the truth. I'm sure they believe there's a field of barley, and maybe there was, right? But do they really know what biblical barley is? Do they understand what biblical barley is? And even if there is a field of barley, is that the biblical definition of Aviv? I mean, logically think to yourself, all right? Aviv means ripe ears. So if it's the month of Aviv, don't you think that there's going to be barley everywhere? Like, let's say, depending on where you live, you know, Like, we lived in Israel for 20 years, and we know the harvest there. So when you get to the summer, right, around August, the grapes are all coming out. And there's not grapes in one supermarket. There's not grapes in one guy's field. There's not grapes one lady on a corner selling grapes. Anywhere you go in the country, they're selling them on the side of the road. They're all over in the supermarkets. You could pick them out there. They're everywhere that they're coming because it's the time of grapes, right? And then after that, a Sukkot is coming. The pomegranates are everywhere. The dates are everywhere. And they're not just privately. You see fields of them, which is great, but you could just pick them. We've done that many, many times. You know, several of the kibbutzes we lived on, they were filled with all kinds of fruits. You could just walk around and pick them. So that's the point of it. If a month is called Aviv, it's not going to be because in a whole country, there was one field somewhere that might or might not have been Aviv, that people can't even come to a conclusion if it is or not. It's utterly ridiculous. So you have to think to yourself, if something is Aviv, that would mean that the majority of the barley in the country has to be ripe. Because why? Because you have to bring your first fruit offering before Yahweh. Everyone has to do it. Everyone had to cut their own offering and they had to bring it to Jerusalem and they had to bring it before the priest. It wasn't for the priest going around the country hunting for if he could find a field of it. And I'm going to prove that to you here. Let's go now to Leviticus 23 and verse 10. Now this is Leviticus 23. Is all about the holy days, right? The whole chapter is about the holy days. Matter of fact, maybe I'll even start with... I'll start in verse 1. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, the set feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim as holy gatherings, shall be these. These are my appointed feasts." So these are Yahweh's feasts. The whole chapter now, all the way from verse 1 to the end, is all about Yahweh's feast. It's when to keep them, what month to keep them, how to keep them, what to do. They're all in there. So look at verse 5. "In the first month, on the 14th of the month, between the evenings, is the Passover to Yahweh. And on the 15th day of the month is Feast of Unleavened. You shall eat unleavened things 7 days." So this is all the feast. Now look what he says here when we're talking about the wave sheaf, right? And the offering. And says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, when you come into the land," right, because they're still out in the wilderness here, "when you come into the land which I am giving to you, and you've reaped its harvest, after you reap its harvest, and have brought in the omer of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, then you shall wave the omer before Yahweh for your acceptance," okay? So it's after you've reaped its harvest. So, like I said, it's the month of Aviv. There's got to be Aviv everywhere, and you have to reap the harvest, which shows it is later than earlier. And I'm telling you, we've lived there, like I said, for 20 years. Every year we've checked, and never once when they started, never once when they started the year before the equinox was there barley in the whole country. Always after there is. Always after. You know, sometimes before the equinox, there may have been enough barley for a wave sheaf, but it's not Aviv because it's still the old year. And it's not just that the barley has to be ripe, the barley has to be reaped. You have to reap it. And it's not bringing barley from one area, right? Because what is it? The wave sheaf is about the tribes. And Yeshua is that wave sheaf who represents all 12 tribes. So it's about bringing the harvest from the 12 tribes and bring it there. And Yeshua takes the sacrifice in place of the tribes of Israel. So if you understand what the wave sheaf represents, and you understand that Yeshua is the wave sheaf, we have a good article on this online, then you'll understand it has to be ripe. It has to be ripe. Yeshua was not unripe. Yeshua was totally ready for his sacrifice. He was ready to be the wave sheaf. He was ready for what he had to do. So very clearly here, it's after the harvest is in. It has to be after the equinox. When you look at Deuteronomy 16, same thing with Sukkot, right? Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. "You shall perform the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot 7 days after you have gathered in from your grain floor and on your wine press." After you gathered in, it's that simple. That's the whole point of it, right? That in Israel, you don't get rain for 9 months. sometimes even longer than that, you know. I mean, it's a semi-arid area, and the way that the weather works, you don't get any rain for about 9 months of the year. So now what happens, right? You start your year off, you plow your ground, you put everything in that ground, and now you got to pray for that early rain. Because if the early rain doesn't come, that thing's going to sit there. What's going to happen? If you don't get rain for 2 or 3 months when you first put that in the ground, you're in trouble because the birds will eat the seed. It can blow away. Anything can happen. So you pray for the early rain. And the early rain germinates that seed, and it's like an inch of grass. And then comes December and January and February, and the rains come, the normal rains. And sure, you might get a drought, like in the time of Elijah, that it wasn't there. But 95% of the time, the regular rains are going to come to one degree or another. And then what does it do? It shoots up the grain. But now, if you don't get the latter rain, you'll never bring that to fruition. The grain will just stay there. It will never, the kernel will never form. It will never be mature unless you get the latter rain. And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. And that's why you have to pray for that latter rain. Just like today. And it's the same with us, right? You know, that when you're a new believer, when you get Yahweh's Spirit, right? You have to pray when you begin, because half the people the first year, they're gone. You have to pray for that early rain. You got to pray that you get a grounding, you get footage. And once you get that footage and you're an inch high, you know, now nothing's going to wipe you away or wash you away, because now the regular rain is going to come. And you're going to grow to an extent. But now we're in the end time, right? If Yahweh doesn't bring us to fruition, what good is it? There'll be no fruit that was born at that point. So now, as the fruit comes, and now, like I said, you go through the year and the same thing. Now there's no rain. The rest of the time, you have to cultivate your figs, and you have to make sure that you're going to get your pomegranates and all these things. And you work hard. You work day and night. And now it's harvest time. It's the Feast of Ingathering. Now you're in gathering all that fruit, and you're coming up to Jerusalem with all of it. Why? Because you're going to thank Yahweh. If you're riding your donkey with an empty cart, boy, that ain't Sukkot. There's nothing to celebrate. That's not a feast. That means you are cursed. That means you weren't blessed. The same in our life today. If you don't have those 9 fruits of the Spirit, there's nothing for you to celebrate for. You know? You're just playing. You're just play acting. So here it is, that these people would come up and they would celebrate and they would enjoy, and that's why it's the Feast of Harvest, because now after that you have to do it all over again. So that's why only logic would tell you that it's a later feast, not an earlier one, because you have to harvest the grain, whether it's the spring or the fall. And if you start the year, like I said, if you start the year early, you're not going to add a month in June or July. You start the year early, like these people that started the year in February. Let's look how they're going to look in the first, second week of August, where they're keeping Sukkot. It's going to be ridiculous, because there won't be any harvest. There won't be a harvest at that point. So if people would only look at Scripture, if they would only follow Yahweh, to be honest, the biblical calendar really is not that complicated. The other thing I find very interesting is when you're looking at the equinox, King Solomon, right? Son of David, the greatest king as far as riches and all that stuff. Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem so that the sun would come through the eastern gate on the day of the equinox. He did that particularly. So the sun would shine through the Golden Gate only on the day of the equinox. So, is the equinox important? Of course it is. Do the rabbis say it? Of course it is. The rabbis say you couldn't start the year before the equinox? Of course they did. Because there's nothing else. There's nothing else, you know? I mean, like I said, with barley, it's arbitrary. What if you did have a drought and you had no barley? You're just going to continue? Day 567, day 679, day 830? Of course not. No, 1 year comes and 1 year goes. And nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that the year starts and ends by barley. It's very clear. The year is by the luminaries that Yahweh put in the sky in Genesis 1:14, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And it's just so simple, you know, that the sun regulates the day, the moon regulates the month, and together they regulate the year. The sun goes through the 12 constellations, and when it comes back to the first and passes the equator and the day of the equinox, it's going from winter to summer and it's the new year. Anybody anywhere on the earth can understand that. A five-year-old child can understand that because you see the difference in the weather. And now you know it's not winter anymore, that the summer is here. You see it with the plants. You know, you see how the plants are coming at that time. You see the budding of the almond trees. You see all kinds of things, even with the calves, you know, and the sheep that are having their little ones at that time. All these things play into it as the year is turning. But the main thing that Yahweh said is we have to look at those luminaries because they're never going to change. Like he said, if the sun and the moon and the stars will change, then my word would change. But the sun, the moon, and the stars don't change, and neither does his word change. So I pray that this helped. And like I said, you could go to our website, www.cohwh.com. And I have many papers on this. I have sermons on this if you want more in-depth. And the biblical calendar book. You can download the biblical calendar book, which not only goes into this subject, but it goes into how the biblical calendar works. How does the year begin? How does the month begin? When is conjunction? When was the crucifixion? What year was the crucifixion? What day is the Passover, which we'll be going over? Probably not next week, but in a few weeks. You know, we'll go over that as we start getting into Passover season. How to count Shavuot, the Omer, the lunar Sabbath illusion or delusion. And when does the day begin? So all these things are in there. Everything is from Scripture. You're welcome to go and download that book as our gift. And like I said, you know, the truth sets you free. And you have to be able to prove these things from Scripture. It can't just be tradition or you don't want to change or some of these other things, because it's really not that difficult and not that hard to understand. So until next week, Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.